We've just come over from the office where we were doing a number of things, including discussing the whole area of prison security and this X-ray installation now that the so-called Monster is attempting. As we know, that the California Department of Corrections is a huge mammoth megalomaniac monster that runs the prison system here, and as always, the monster flexes its muscles, and the whole push to have now these visitor detectors installed, you know, to me is once more demonstrates that the monster is having to push to extreme limits to satisfy all the power that the Department of Correction holds. I mean, historically, it has, like when they installed the death fences, and there was a big hubbub about the death fences and other things that the California Department of Correction has initiated, and the public has gone, oh, what are they doing? Like, wow, you know. But yet they've gone ahead and did it, you know. So I think they're going to basically get away with this installing of the these visitor detectors, because they're going to cry that there's an absolute need for security to keep the prison safe, more or less, as they say, and to justify the extreme measures that the Department of Corrections, the monster, goes to exert its power. Not only within, you know, the prison system and within prisoner over prisoners, but now their families and their attorneys. As I understand, the attorneys are outraged. Some attorneys are quoted in the article that appeared in the San Francisco Examiner recently of being outraged that they, the attorneys, are going to be subjected to this kind of stuff. But historically, the wives and the mothers and the children and the families have been harassed.
They've been getting that all along.
They've been, you know, having to suck that up all along, you know. And to me, I get a little pissed off because as an ex-prisoner that had family members come visit me while I was in there, they put them through outrageous extremes, you know, at the metal detector where, you know, take your shoes off, take your bra off, you know, and in some instances even attempting to.
You're kidding. They asked. Oh, yeah. To take their bras off?
In the next room, yeah. I mean, you know, this, they do it today at immigration in the airports, you know, as far as coming in from another country. They you know, they do that. Is it, you know, is it Big Brother's here, man, and, you know, he's got a flashlight, and he's looking up your behind and everything else, you know, today, you know. So the prison system is a reflection of that, and it was coming.
So they're already doing actual physical strip searches of visitors to the prisons?
Well, if the prisoner, you know, wants to get in there under some, I would say, especially in the federal system, that they require some prisoners, I mean some prisoner families, to submit to keep open the visiting channels to whoever they're trying to visit, you know. But back 20 years ago, the mother of, I won't say his name, of somebody that I was being tried with at San Quentin during a very high security trial, the mother was repeatedly threatened, or, you know, they tried to entice her to submit to a strip search. There's the mother of a prisoner, and she would never submit, allow them to do that. She would cross herself and say, you know, something in Spanish, you know, to keep them off her. But, yeah, they were trying to get her to be allowed to be strip searched, of course, by a female correctional officer. But no, in the federal system, that's very common, you know. But now what they're doing, they're strip searching the whole public just through these X-ray machines that they're installed. I understand they're at 6 prisons right now, and of course one of them's down there at Chowchilla, from what we know, and that's the women's prison. So maybe Roxanne, you know, can say something about that, because I think that this intrusion is doubly hard on women, whether it's visiting women visitors or the women prisoners themselves, because in prison for 20 years they have forced X-rayed prisoners. You know, I don't know if the public is aware of that, but they have forced prisoners to have what they call a keister X done on them. A keister X, you know, that is what it insinuates. It's an anal X-ray to see if they're carrying weapons, you know. And they have forced that on prisoners in there. They've been doing that for 20 years. So it was just a matter of time before this other scheme of the monster, you know, materialized. But it's in keeping with the whole new order of things, Big Brother being here, and that the prison system have so much power that it really finds, looks for new ways to flex its power, you know, and get away with it. So
not only flex its power, but also constant harassment. Harassment of families and harassment of prisoners that goes on all the time, and they change their methods of harassment. Every month or every 3 months, there's a whole new system of
causing troubles to people, and then you get caught up in the fight to try to undo the latest outrage. And what this does is keep you busy with, you know, issues that are plenty bad and plenty painful for people, but at the same time are not the main issue, which is like to change how prisoners are, you know, handled and what's happening within the prison system, generally speaking.
Roxanne, what's your perspective on women prisoners at Chow Chilling?
Well, when you know that when you go into the prison, that these women are being sexually abused and denied basic human rights, you have to wonder why they're being subjected to any further tortures. It's like Hallbrook said and Louise said, that they're finding new ways to intimidate people and torture them. When we go into the prisons, we ask prisoners about what has happened to them, and 95% of the time they say that things, sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, spiritual abuse, is happening all the time to them.
Is this from guards or
from guards? From the guards. So now the state of California and the Department of Corrections is having a new way to subject people to, like, what I call sick little tortures. And the X-raying of a visitor seems to me to be against their human rights. It's violating a civil right, and it's saying that they're just as bad as the prisoners by assuming, on the one hand, that they would bring in contraband. And then when reading the article, it says that the staff of the prisons, we wouldn't use it on our staff because it was very intrusive. Well, why wouldn't they think it would be intrusive to a visitor? You know, if it's intrusive to a staff, then it would be intrusive to anybody else, including someone who's a prisoner. So I think that this is just another petty way of submitting the public and the prisoners to something that is a violation of their rights.
Yeah, it's almost like they're trying to punish the visitors for being related to the prisoners.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
In addition to, you know, the violation of the human rights, there is also, you know, an important health issue involved in low-level radiation, which comes from the X-rays. In the past 6 years, I've made 13 trips to the former Soviet Union, where I work in the lands that are contaminated around Chernobyl, where people are working, living in lands that are contaminated and eating contaminated food and being exposed to contaminated water and ash in the air and so on. And these people, you know, are told that low-level radiation isn't really a problem, and that's what the nuclear industry tells people as well. But this is just not true. And someone like John Goffman, who's, you know, a San Francisco scientist that was formerly worked at the Lawrence Livermore Laboratory, he's written a book on the long-term effects of low-level radiation. It's not well-known or well-documented, just what happens. But it stands to reason, and he shows in his work that the number of problems that are due to lowered immune system and leading to further illnesses, as well as attacks on the thyroid gland and other cancers that, you know, come from low-level radiation, including leukemia, that these can be observed in much higher incidences as a result of exposure, long-term exposure to low-level radiation.
Now, in the Examiner article the other day, they had a quote from a company spokesman from the company which manufactures these X-ray machines, saying that, oh, there's no danger. Oh, the level of radiation is the difference that might be accrued from, say, eating your lunch outdoors in the sunlight as opposed to eating it indoors. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I'm not, you know, a physicist myself, so it's a little bit difficult for me to be specific about those kinds of gradations. What I know is that there is sufficient evidence that low-level radiation on an ongoing basis or repeated exposures to low-level radiation has a long-term health effect.
You know, the thing about knowing scientifically, you know, whether it's whether it's detrimental to a visitor or not, is it the visitors themselves will believe that it's harmful. I think the whole thing about the prison system doing this is that it wants to scare off visitors. Yeah. And in so doing, pat itself on the back for saving itself $1 million a year or a couple of $1 million a year by cutting back on staffing within the visiting rooms and putting them on the perimeters, using them in other places within the facility, because we're talking about the California Department of Corrections, which runs 33 prison facilities. Each prison facility takes about $50,000 to $60,000 a year just to run. In some instances, even $100,000. $1 million a year to run. We're talking the millions. But at the same time, it's very oriented towards staffing, security, towards all these other things. All the programs are being wiped out in the prisons today. No schooling. All these things are being taken away, and the actual running of the prisons being left to custody and custody devices, all way to enrich and fatten itself through more benefits, work hours. Their packages are some of the best in the working industry here in the state, which they give themselves, the guards give themselves, because each prisoner on a yearly basis takes between $25,000 and $30,000 rent money just to maintain a prisoner in one cell. See? Well, almost 94% of that sum goes towards the guard employee benefits payment, you know, which they pay themselves, and they don't want anything else going. This is why medical's in such a shambles in prisons today. They are letting prisoners die before spending $10,000 on them to take them out there and get them operated on. We know a fellow recently who they have neglected so long that, you know, he, I think, is on the verge of losing his leg through infection and gangrene and all this other stuff, right? Because the prison system is so greedy. It cannot see itself expending any kind of expenditures on such thing as allowing visits. Because right now, the whole visiting program in California prisons is a shamble. Sometimes you can get in. Sometimes you can't get in. You got to call in advance. You got to set a date. And then when you get there, they tell you, well, you're only going to have a 50-minute visit because we don't have a lot of staff. They got staff. They just do not want to provide it for visiting at prisons. It's happening around the country, you know.
And that's in some instances, people are driving long distances,
all the time, to visit people.
They get up there, they're told they can only see the person they came to see for 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
Our friend Kilo Niyasha, who you know, 2 weeks ago went all the way to Pelican Bay to visit Hugo Pinnell. Nobody else was in the visiting room, and they made her leave in 50 minutes. Why? They don't want to have to pay regular staff to staff visiting rooms. So this whole thing about the x-rays, the big scare about, oh, it's a safer institution now, no drugs and all that, the drugs are still going to get in because they're not even x-raying their own guards, and that's where all the drugs come from.
Coming in.
All right? So that is just a big red herring they put out there for you to chase, run it down, and in the process get mad and say, well, prisoners don't deserve visitors anyway, so go ahead and stall them. But it's two things. It's they buy off these big security manufacturers that they say they got a deal on the machines that are being installed. They got six of them. They say they're getting a good deal from the manufacturer. But the thing is that they are all part of the prison industrial complex, selling all kind of gadgetry, electronics, systems, for doing nothing more than keeping people in prison, you know. So,
have you all at California Prison Focus, have you received a lot of calls from prisoners' relatives concerned about this issue involving these x-ray machines?
No.
I've had several people that I've talked to about it. They're incensed. But once again, the argument is, well, what can you do?
Yeah, they seem to be able to get away with anything. Of course, the governor's office implemented the rule, the no press contact between reporters and prisoners, and people were outraged and incensed about that. But
you can't go to Sacramento, you can't go to your politicians. Nobody really gives a damn about this thing unless they're being subjected to going to the prison. And that's why the attorneys are squawking, saying, well, I visit my client regularly, and I don't want that thing being done. I'm glad they're saying something about it, but is it, it's the wife, the children. Do you believe that as many Hispanic women visiting the prison, do you think they're going to allow themselves to be executed? Hell no. Their husband going to say, don't come no more. Especially don't come bring the children.
Well, I noticed they published a photo on the front page of the, I believe it was the Examiner the other day when they reported this story, and the photo depicted the image that appears on the screen from someone who's x-rayed by one of these machines, and you can clearly see the crack of the person's buttocks. You can clearly see the outline of their body through their clothing.
Well,
this has been called an electronic strip search. Would all of you agree with that?
Yes.
Is that essentially what
yes.
it is?
Yes, but this has been going on for a long time in other places. It goes on all the time inside the institution to prisoners. Women are exposed to male guards in the showers. Women are exposed to male guards coming into their room sexually abusing them. And there's things that go on that no one knows about because we're not allowed to really go in there. Like the media can't go in and examine it. The press can't go in and examine it. And I think that this is just another way to keep the prisoners isolated. So if a mother brings her children to come see her husband who's incarcerated, then she's going to have this scanner go up and down her body, and she'll feel like she's part of the problem instead of the solution. And she'll, probably feel exposed.
She'll probably feel violated.
Violated. So who will want to go back? If you're going to isolate prisoners, that gives you another incentive to torture them. If nobody's coming to see people, then what will happen to them when we leave them all alone? So that's it's a scare tactic. It's like a sick little joke. Well, let's take the visitors and make them feel just as bad as we can make somebody who we've got captive.
Sharon,
I agree with that. I think it's a scare tactic. I'm a former prisoner, and I've seen through the years, that every time we make an attempt to change something, then the correctional department comes up with another way of torturing or dehumanizing the humans that are within the prison system. They think once they've got you in there that you're not a human and they can do anything they want to you, whether it's torture or shackling or putting you in a hole as deep as the basement of a prison, or putting 10 cages around you, or putting you in a strip cell, or forcibly injecting you with psychotropic drugs. I think this is another way to cut off the prisoners from society, from even their families and their loved ones. They already put people that go in from the south up north, and they put the ones from the north down south to take them away from their loved ones and their support. So I think this is another tactic of, like Louise says, the monster. It's definitely a monster. That's.
And what happens to prisoners who might resist being forcibly injected by these psychotropic drugs? They just hold you down, tie you down, and force you to.
They send the goon squad in. They send 5-6 guards and the nurse, and they hold you down and forcibly inject you with psychotropic drugs. I know this for a fact because I had it done to me, And it's done every day. It's done every day. And the women that are in segregation, isolation, you know, and in the SHU, you know, they're going through this torture every day.
Do you know what kind of drug was injected into you?
No, I don't know. I don't know what the name of it was.
Was it just something to make you go to sleep?
It just totally put me out. Totally put me out, you know. It's another form of control.
Did you initiate any kind of complaint against this to the prison administration at the time?
No.
And would that have done any good if you had?
No, I don't think it would have. You know, I think no, I didn't. Yeah.
Holbrook, you were going to say something.
Well, prisoners initiate complaints all the time, but the problem is there's retaliation, or they lose the complaint until after, you know, the period of time that, you know, it was viable has already been exceeded, or they just don't pay any attention to it. So over and over again, this kind of, you know, problem happens. And also, if you refuse medication, one kind of medication, like if you won't take the psychiatric medications, then they stop. They may stop your other medications. In addition to like a cell extraction and injecting you, like Sharon was just speaking of, we've talked with people on the HIV ward at Corcoran State Hospital, Corcoran State Prison, and if you refuse the psychiatric medication, then they stop your HIV medication as well, for example.
But I think last year's Human Rights Watch report was replete with instances. They did a year study on, I think, three California prisons, CIW, but mostly at Chowchilla. They had talked to numbers of women who said that they had been under medical control for years, that the prison, the monster that operates the prison system, and each prison is like this tentacle, you know. It's heartless. It doesn't have feelings, you know, and it's selfish and it's abusive, and this tentacle does things to you at each of the prison sites that the outside world basically don't know again. But these women spoke with some of the other women, I guess, who over a period of time they felt confident talking to from Human Rights Watch, and women were being sexually abused after being over-medicated and knocked out. And there's one particular woman who told me in confidence that she knew.
Now, that's a new one I didn't know about.
Well,
inject women with drugs to knock them out.
They're called they're cocktails, and they usually say it's for, you know, because you're upset. They tell the women, you're upset, we need to calm you down, and, you know, and they put them down in restraints. I call it four-point restraints a lot of times. And they force drugs on them, right?
And after the woman is passed out, the guards will sexually
abuse them. Well, this is what happened to this particular, you know, woman, because there's a lot of sick guards that get these jobs, you know, in prison. Especially down there at Chowchilla, these guys come in there, man, thinking they're going to be over all these women, like have this big harem to themselves, and they lust after these women. And this one woman said there was this guard after her for years, eyeing her and ogling her and making suggestions. And one time it just so happened that he was on the guard detail that when she was in the lockup unit, that where she had gotten in a fight and she was upset, and they came in there and he seen her and he was participated in subduing her, and then the doctor okayed the injection to take place, because usually they got some stooge sellout concentration doctor, you know, there to rubber stamp for them, and he does what the guards say, and so they injected her, and she said that she felt that she was raped. She was out, but when she felt up, she felt the signs that someone had been in her sexually, and that thereafter this guard had a big smirk on his face, and that she said she knew it was him. She could never prove it though, but no, these things happen in there. I got my ear to the wall throughout the prison system for the last 20 years, I hear a lot of stuff, man. I got that every almost prison system, you know, I have nieces, nephews doing time here in California, so we know what it's all about. He's a monster that runs the California Department of Corrections. This whole thing about getting back to the x-rays is that they're going to get away with doing this, and then it's going to be something else they're going to want to do, and then something else they're going to want to do. And this last year, they've been incredibly busy saying, like, okay, that's it. No more of this. You know, okay, that's it. No more of this. We're, you know, and they with everything, every deprivation and punishment and new device and scheme is that it makes them hungrier to exercise even more power. And they have extended way over now into the public sector and are even known to go after family members at their homes, like in Southern California, a lot of the Hispanic neighborhoods. You got Gestapo coming, breaking down doors and looking for little sister who passed something to her brother, and they want to talk to her. They come to arrest her, and like they see a lot of the families, especially families of color, they see the families as all belong to the same criminal conspiracy. It's a family crime syndicate of its own because they visit loved ones in prison, you know. And they are always under, they are highly suspect to doing all this other stuff, but the actually the prison administrators and guards, they're the real criminals, what we say.
Are these actual prison guards that, yeah, that they are visiting these people at home?
They have two operational units statewide. These are like vigilante with badges. They're state cops, and it's ISS and it's SSU, Special Services Unit, and they are Gestapo. I mean, they are guards. We work for the Department of Corrections, and a lot of times they look like thugs themselves because a lot of times they operate in disguise. A lot of times they have a debriefed prisoner with them, showing them where, you know, when they go into the neighborhoods and showing them where every detail is of the neighborhoods, who is who, identifying who, and they will come to your house without a warrant, knock your door down, looking for where's Cousin Billy, right? So the thing is that the x-rays and being installed at the prison system is a very small part of the big Gestapo apparatus and powers that the Department of Corrections have. They have special police, special detentions, safe houses, detention centers. They have tracking dogs. They have a big elaborate cipher system, decipher everything that comes into the prison, you know, under some kind of code that, you know, they're going to try to break now. And it's basically guys talking to each other, people talking to each other, trying to communicate, because everything going into prison is being censored, right? And stuff being read into it that's not actually there, right? So
why does the State Department of Corrections treat people so cruelly? Is there any purpose to it? Are they doing this for psychological warfare type reasons to keep people in a more subdued, cowed state? Or are they just doing it for the joy of it?
I think it's because they enjoy power. I think it's power. And when you have a security housing unit that has a place called the quiet room in it, and you interview a prisoner, and the prisoner says, well, my friend just went to the quiet room, but it wasn't really quiet because I could hear screaming. What does that say? That's power. They want power.
What, describe the quiet room. What is that like?
We don't really know. We just have prisoners tell us that there is one. Well, I don't think anyone's ever seen it, but it's a security housing unit inside a security housing unit.
A shoe inside of a shoe.
Yes, it's a quiet room.
It's also possible to look at what's happening with California prisons as part of a whole larger system of what's going on, not only in this country, but even around the whole world. There's, you know, the functioning of neoliberalism or globalization that goes on today includes what's called structural readjustment. And that's why we're spending less money on education, less money on health care, cutting back on welfare, all those kinds of social services that are important for keeping stability and decency in the social system are being cut back. And in order to do this, there has to be an increased level of repression to deal with the obvious and inevitable response to a new cruelty in the social system. So that, you know, when you see what goes on in the prisons, the building of more prisons and the installation of control units or security housing units, which is sort of the ultimate in repression, using a solitary confinement to drive people crazy, that this is part of a system of social control.
Can any of you talk about the corporations that have set up shop inside the prisons? I understand, at least in San Quentin, that a corporation or two have actually set up shops inside the prison and are hiring prisoners to work at, like, slave labor wages.
Well, we know that there's 300-400 well-known companies and many lesser contractors that are having work done within the prison system, and it all ranges from fashion designers to dental companies making small intricate instruments to producing cable axial cable for the television cable companies. That's a big industry. It's not the traditional license plates anymore. And it's part of the new order of things, is the way I see it, is because I think, once again, you're dealing with a multi-billion dollar